Hey y'all, this week we are talking about goal setting. This is literally one of my favorite things to do. It helps me stay on track. I find such a great satisfaction and fulfillment by doing it. So please tune in, listen, hear about how I have been able to set goals that are achievable for who I am individually, and find out how you can set those goals and expectations for yourself. Thanks for listening to Dandelion Inc.'s The Seed. Welcome to The Seed, cultivating growth and empowering women in business, brought to you by Dandelion Inc. I'm your host, Lisa Resnick, and this podcast is all about connecting, developing, and supporting women in business. Join me as we explore tips and insights on leadership, business development, and social media strategies that can help you thrive. We'll also hear from amazing guests who share their stories and experiences, offering inspiration and practical advice for your entrepreneurial journey. So tune in, download, like, and subscribe. And remember, if you love what you hear, share it with others. Together, let's cultivate growth and empower women in business. Okay, everyone, we are going to talk about setting goals. This is probably one of my favorite things to do. I know that sounds weird, especially because I'm not your athlete. So where it comes from, I do not know. I also am not a fan of setting monetary goals. I'll never forget when I worked in real estate, that was like one of the biggest things, is that they would hand you this sheet of paper and it would start off with a value. Everything was based upon a monetary value in which you needed to hit. And that was where you started from. And then from that start, you work down to how many phone calls you needed to make that day. How many meetings did you need to set that month? How many touch points do you need to have? Your A list, your B list, all the things. But it first started off with a monetary value. And I'm going to be honest, I hated it. I am not one who sets their goals based on monetary amounts. I know that probably sounds absolutely ridiculous and that's not what we should be doing. But for me to achieve what I want to in life, that's not my primary. It's not. It becomes my secondary. So if that sheet of paper was reversed and it was, this is how many people you need to call today, this is how many people you need to meet with this month, this is how many transactions, contracts you needed to have signed, and then you have this value, then that is a result from the goals that I have set for me, and that I'm okay with. So I do not set monetary goals. So I'm just going to forewarn you, if you're that person, then you need to take in consideration, I am not. So everything that I'm saying going forward, please take it with a grain of salt. So with that, what are your drivers? I just explained mine, or definitely what is not one of my drivers. Your goal might be to become a digital nomad and work in Portugal, which is definitely a dream of mine and is something that I am going to set as a goal. Right now is not the appropriate time. However, 100% that is in my mind and will happen after 5 years from now. I do have kids in high school. We want to make sure that they are in a good college before we head out of the country. Your goal might be to take your family to Disney, buy a pair of Jimmy Choo's, a second home, or buy your parents' home. It does not have to be, but it definitely can be, to have a seven-figure business within 5 years. No matter what your goal is, you need to have it directly connected to your driver. For me, thinking of my love languages and my Enneagram. So my love language is being with friends and loved one and having time together. And my Enneagram is an Enneagram 8, which is your challenger. So my goals are directly related to experiences and challenges. So delving into love languages and Enneagram types can be very enlightening for those that might be wondering, why haven't you been hitting your goals? Why are you having a hard time connecting the dots and achieving the success that you want to? Having that inward self-awareness is super important when you're looking at what goals you want to set for yourself. So, as I do often look at my quirks, as well as those of others, I notice that my compass always points towards chasing adventures, tackling hurdles head on. I thrive when I break free from the familiar, dive into the unknown, and craft memories that sing to my spirit. By aiming for experiences that nudge me to evolve and hurdles that stretch my boundaries, I'm not just existing. I'm flourishing in sync with my true self. And I want this for each and every one of you who are listening. Setting goals in my life was the turning point that transformed me into the confident and daring individual I am today. It all started with a small, achievable goals that gradually built my assurance and courage. Each goal I accomplished pushed me to reach more, to challenge myself further, and to embrace risks with open arms. I learned that taking risks and stepping out of my comfort zone were essential for my growth and personal development. As I continued to set and achieve goals, I shed my insecurities and I embraced a mindset of fearlessness and determination. Today, I have the ability to be confident in who I am and what I bring to the table because I was able to conquer any challenge that came my way. And it was all thanks to the power of setting goals in my life. You know, those little lists that I constantly make, when I cross them off, that to me is achieving a goal, small but mighty goal. I will never forget when I lived in D.C. So I lived in D.C. for about 14, 15 years, maybe 16. I don't know. Time all blurs for me. But I moved there when I was 27 years old. And I had a job that you did. I drove anywhere from Richmond, Virginia, all the way up to Towson, Maryland. So I'm driving at all times of day, attending meetings and anything else that I needed to get done. And while I was driving, I would always see people out running. And yes, I did think to myself, don't these people work? But they eventually influenced me to the point that my goal before turning 35 was to run my first 5K. I did it, and honestly, I loved it. I loved the fact that I, who was never a runner, that literally started off barely making it one block without having to stop and walk, worked and worked until I was able to hit that 5K goal. And it felt great. I really love that feeling. And I really never wanted it to go away. So after running one 5K and then a few thereafter, I realized that it wasn't quite as challenging for myself. So every single time I upped my game until I actually completed a marathon. But when I went through that process and I did work my tail off for that, it was not easy by any means. I finished and crossed that line without that euphoric feeling that everybody spoke about. I didn't have that epiphany. I didn't have that mental push that everybody said that you got once you hit mile 22. And by the way, this does not mean that physically I was killing it, because my body definitely was depleted. My body definitely failed me, but my mind was still strong. That never wavered. So after that, I decided to sign up for a 50K. Probably one of the greatest and worst decisions of my life. So again, worked my tail off to train for this race. And when I finally got to the date, or actually before I got to the date, I noticed my physical body was failing. So I upped the date of the race and did another one 2 months before the race that I actually signed up for. So I showed up that day and I was determined that I was going to finish this 50K. And I am so glad I did. And I will tell you, mentally, I 100% had that euphoric feeling. I think I called my husband around mile 28 crying to him, saying how much I wanted this to end, but I couldn't let it go. There were moments in which I looked at the trail and thought, hey, if I just stopped and sat for a little bit, I would rest up and I'd be okay. But then I also knew in my mind, nope, if I sit right now, I am never going to get back up and I'm not going to complete this. So I finished the 50K, body and mind completely broken. And as odd as this may sound, it was the greatest thing I could have ever have done for myself to really elevate me to the next level and knowing how much I am truly capable of. So I highly recommend having those moments, figuring out those challenges that you can conquer that will build you as a human being, because that is exactly what that race did for me. It was extraordinarily therapeutic. Now, I've definitely run some marathons afterwards, but 100%, I have never engaged in another 50K again, but it was the greatest feeling ever. So goals I have now are a mix of business and personal, from growing my membership, adding more workshops, adding revenue streams, to personal learning how to play Freebird on the guitar, grow herbs, which I do not have a green thumb whatsoever. So I do feel, out of everything that I just mentioned, that is going to be my biggest challenge, as well as reading more. So far, I'm off to a great start this year. And that's something that that I always aspire to do, is to read more. And I enjoy both fiction and nonfiction books. So one is more leisure, one is more growth. I'm a person who needs to check off items and say, hey, I was able to complete this task, and that is what my drivers are. So ultimately, they will never go away. The 50K, done. I'm never going to go back to that. I am not running another. I do not see for Dandelion Inc. having an endpoint. So you may be asking yourself, well, then how are you handling Dandelion Inc. and maintaining that passion and that drive for the purpose of this organization? Well, it's because I know who I am. It is because I know what my drivers are, that I've created goals of level phases that I want to achieve. And I set it up with timelines, everything in mind, so I know I have endpoints within the grand picture of the organization. So what do you do for yourself? How do you decide what you can achieve and how to define your vision of your goals? Of course, again, the person that I am, I do think knowing those love languages of yours, as well as your personality type, whether you decide to do Myers-Briggs, the Gallup, or my fave, the Enneagram, I do think knowing that portion of yourself is a great starting point when setting up your goals. So First, you need to define your vision. After you figure that all out, you need to define your vision. That is your first step. You start by clarifying what you want to achieve in the long term. This could be your career aspiration, it could be personal development goal, a lifestyle change, or honestly, a mix of all of it. You don't have to have one or the other. I'm a big fan of meshing it all together. And then you need to be smart with your goals. And that means specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. So I have on my refrigerator, I've mentioned it before, my post-its with the goals all listed. I have my personal, my business, family goals, all of it up there. But I also have timelines. And I also know what I need to do to make it to the check-off part of hitting that goal. So they are very specific. They are very measurable. They're very achievable, relevant, and time-bound. This is what you need to do. So if you want to exercise more, you need to set a goal of, okay, this amount of days, I am going to go for a 30-minute walk. You need to make sure that it is relevant with what you need to do for yourself, and you need to make sure that it is time-bound. You also need to break down your goals. Break down your long-term goals into smaller, manageable tasks. This makes them less overwhelming and easier to progress. You need to prioritize your goals. Determine which goals are most important and focus on those first. You can use techniques like Eisenhower Matrix to prioritize your goals effectively. I do have that as well. I have my goals prioritized. For instance, I have growing my membership as primary number one for Dandelion Inc. And at that bottom of the list is write a book, because I'm also very realistic with myself, but I do really want to hit that goal as well. Something beyond just your ebook. I have the idea, everything in my mind. I just need to find the space and the dedication to crafting the book. So with that, I need to set more deadlines for the book. It's not until the end of 2024 because I know myself very well. So assign specific deadlines to each goal and task. This helps create that sense of urgency that keeps you motivated. Monitor your progress. So you need to monitor your progress regularly. Stay flexible. Seek help. I'm a big, big advocate of seeking help. Share your goals with your friends, family, a mentor who can support you and encourage you. Set your goals. You just need to utilize the resources that you have readily available to you much more often than what we do. So just remember, goal setting is a dynamic process. It is individual based, and it is okay to refine your goals over time as you gain new insights and experiences. And I am going to leave you again with this. You need to have an understanding and a self-awareness of who you are as a human and what drives you. So before you even hit that first step of defining your vision, you need to first figure out who you are and what motivates you, what drives you to get to that goal and what you want to achieve. I hope this helps you set goals. Remember, it's not just a New Year's thing, like Lena and Amber said, podcast guest a few weeks ago. So hopefully you have taken that and realized it doesn't have to be a Monday. It doesn't have to be the first day of the month. It could be at any time. It could be any day. Set those goals for yourself.
Thank you, everyone, for listening in to The Seed. If you'd like to receive our weekly newsletter, go to dandelion-inc.com and click Let's Connect. And please be sure to subscribe to the Seeds podcast to hear more inspiring stories from other badass women that are all around us. Remember, behind every woman is a tribe of other successful women who have their back. To you all, thank you.